Good morning, Jim, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. Japan logged its fourth straight monthly trade deficit in October as the European debt crisis and strained business ties with China over a territorial dispute reduced exports. The Ministry of Finance said today that exports for the month fell 6.5% from a year earlier to $62.9 billion. That produced a deficit of $6.7 billion. Russia's agriculture ministry has raised its grain export forecast for the current agricultural year to 15.5 million tons, that from 10 million tons expected previously. So far, Russia says that it has exported 11 million tons of grain. Couple of export sales of wheat to report. Japan today purchasing 134,693 metric tons of milling wheat in four grades for bulk shipment. Of that total, 45.1 metric tons comes from the United States, delivery for the end of February. And South Korea also purchased U.S. wheat for shipment in March of 24,500 metric tons. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 12,811, is up 23 points. The NASDAQ, 2922, is up almost 6. The S&P 500, 1388, is up just over 1 point.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
A quick programming note, we will not have agricultural programming on Thursday or Friday of this week, with the exception of the closing market reports. Let's go ahead and take a quick look at agricultural weather with meteorologist Drew Leonard.
A little holiday rain will likely fall across portions of the central Midwest as we go from Thursday into Friday of this week, and some of that will eventually work its way into the eastern parts of the region. Strong winds will blow in behind it, with temperatures turning quite a bit cooler as we move into the weekend itself. Temperatures are not expected to become bitterly cold, but after the very warm conditions of the next couple of days, it'll feel rather nippy, especially with the winds blowing at sustained speeds of 20 to 35 miles per hour at times, and will likely be bringing in some colder temperatures, like I said, with the afternoon readings dropping back into perhaps some 30s and 40s across some of the northern portions of the Midwest, while southern areas will see 40s and a few lower 50s. The coolest weather will most certainly kick in as we go from Friday into Sunday. Prior to that, we'll likely see temperatures that are much more pleasant. In fact, we'll likely see afternoon readings today running in the 50s and 60s. Tomorrow, we'll see upper 50s and 60s with some 70s showing up in parts of Nebraska and Kansas, maybe western Missouri. And we'll probably see the warm weather last one more day on Thursday with a lot of 50s and 60s and, again, a few 70s in the south. Then the cold air will begin to push into the region. Temperatures in the northwestern Corn Belt on Thursday afternoon will likely fall from readings in the 40s in the morning to readings in the 20s in the afternoon. The cold air will continue pushing into that region as we move on into Friday. Afternoon highs that day will likely be in the 20s and 30s. We'll look for low temperatures at night across a big part of the Midwest. Starting off this week in the 30s and 40s, we'll likely see the 40s becoming more common for a brief period on Thursday and Friday morning, especially in the eastern Midwest. And then we'll likely see the colder air settle in again with teens and 20s, likely in the western belt as we move into the Friday-Saturday time period. And on into the latter part of the weekend, the colder air will spread deeper into the eastern part of the country. One of the biggest differences in today's forecast versus that of yesterday is that there's less cold air for next week. Now, when I say less cold air, it just means it's not going to be bitterly cold. We're still going to have some coolness around for a little while. The temperatures will turn warmer, though, as we move further through the week instead of progressively colder, which is quite a difference from yesterday. And obviously, the models are being a little bit inconsistent here, so a close monitoring of the second week forecast would certainly be warranted here. In the meantime, a lot of market attention is being focused on U.S. hard red winter wheat country. No precipitation is going to occur out there in a significant manner, over this next 10 days to maybe 2 weeks. It won't be completely dry, but what precipitation does occur will certainly be nothing more than a tease to the region as far as trying to bring back a favorable amount of moisture to the region. The latest USDA crop condition report yesterday obviously showed a further decline in crop conditions in a part of the region, and a large portion of the central and southwestern plains are just simply becoming too dry, with some areas 30 to more than 50 days without rain, and that is likely to continue to be the main issue. And South America, we are looking at a weather pattern that is mostly favorable for crops. In fact, right now there is going to be a new cold front dropping into parts of Argentina that will bring widespread precipitation beginning tonight and continuing tomorrow, ending on Thursday morning. Almost everybody in Argentina will get significant precipitation from this event. The precipitation will be most important to west-central parts of the country where it's been drier than usual, but it won't be so welcome in the heart of corn country because some of that region is still dealing with excess moisture left over from the previous 3 months of excessive rains. And with this new storm system will make the ground too wet again for part of that region. In Brazil, everybody will get rain at one time or another for the next 2 weeks. The precipitation will prove to be beneficial for most of the country. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much there, Drew. Private exporters this morning reporting to USDA the following activity. Export sales of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans were delivered to China during the 2012-13 marketing year. Also, another 56,000 metric tons of soybean oil for delivery to unknown destinations during the 12 and 13 marketing year, and a reported 20,000 metric tons of soybean oil for delivery to China during the 2012 and 13 marketing year. Let's go ahead and look at the electronic trade in Kansas City. December wheat, 878 and three quarters, up 1 1/4. In Chicago, December wheat, 846 and a half, up 1 1/2. December corn, 743 and a half, up 1/4. July, 732 and a half, up 1/4. December of 13, 625 up 2. January soybeans, 14.16 up 3 1/4. July, 13.74 up 1 3/4. November is down 1/2 at 12.91 1/4. December soybean meal, 431.50 up 1.90. December soybean oil, 48.66 is up 34. December live cattle, 127.35 up 30. January feeders, 146.35 up 30. December lean hogs, 81.52 1/2, and they are down 12 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you.
Even the electronic traders are not clicking today.
How's that again?
I said even the electronic traders are not clicking today.
No, it's a little bit out of sync. You know, I think, you know, we've had an exceptionally long period of choppiness. But most of the technicians right now are probably going to start lining up with a better conviction that we've got the seasonal lows in place. In essence, over the last couple of weeks, we've checked them. But now you come back in and say, well, what's my upside potential? Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. You've got holiday season, and typically you don't see real big moves during the holiday season. So everybody's kind of in that choppy, mixed up mess time situation.
So for corn, the question now becomes, as we look into the end of the year, into the spring, are we going to see a demand-led rally in corn?
I would tend to think we should. We continue to monitor the cash markets for that strengthening basis. We're also going to be watching to see if we do indeed get the additional export demand that people have been talking about. Right now, between here and the end of the year, I think your interior markets are going to be the telltale sign if that takes shape. And then after the first of the year, we should start to see some exports. As we know, Russia and Ukraine have talked about reducing their wheat exports or limiting their wheat exports. Their grain exports have improved some over the last 30 to 45 days, but the wheat market is the one to watch for now. Our wheat basis has firmed up a little bit, but we still haven't seen any significant demand. Did get some Japanese business overnight, South Korea overnight, so there is a little bit more business in motion, and we're getting slivers of it, but we haven't seen any of the big sales yet.
Well, if you look at world coarse grain stocks, they're pretty low.
Yes, they are. I think the stocks-to-use ratio in general in almost all of our commodities is pretty darn tight, and I think that's why you've seen some of the smaller countries source corn and source grains from, I'd say, non-typical channels.
So I keep thinking, look, you look at hard red winter wheat country and how awful the conditions are going into dormancy. Mm-hmm. If there is not rain,
right,
if there is not snow over the wintertime, and the trade begins to see that in a month or two, the corn could explode to the upside.
Most assuredly. We've talked about this in our update repeatedly. We really think that the window of opportunity or the T-bone time for the corn market is probably between the quarterly grain stocks in January and the expiration of the March futures next year. That window, you should see your consumption rate, if it's a billion or 1.1 billion a month, which we perceive that it is, you should see some tightness that really does escalate, and the cash basis should really respond.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.